COVID.
That's all we have heard for the last year and a half, and it's what we continue to hear every single day.
The pandemic has reshaped the world and irreversibly changed the lives of each of us.
This year, classes are back in person, things are finally transitioning back to what we used to deem as normal, or to some sort of new normal.
The pandemic is not over yet, and we're all still trying to understand what this all means.
However, for all that we have heard and read about these changes, we still need to rethink our narrative
and reflect more deeply about our days and nights, losses and gains, tears and smiles during these times.
These reflections take time
and require careful sifting through our memories, thoughts, and emotions alongside study of data and expert analysis.
We think, and we hope you will too, that analyzing the stories we are telling about the pandemic is important.
Understanding the ways in which different leaders and experts are trying to persuade us to think and behave differently about
or because of the pandemic will help to prepare us to face the unpredictable future ahead of us.
So, welcome to the Voices Through the Mask podcast, a production by students at Emory University and David Morgan's New Media Writing class.
We may need to speak through our mask to create this podcast,
but we think we've got useful things to say about where we've been and where we are headed.
My name is Samantha Lin, and I am the producer for today's episode of Voices Through the Mask. Also alongside me today is my assistant producer, Icy Wang. The title of today's episode is Trust is the Key to Vaccine Hesitancy. Since December 11, 2020, the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine has been available under emergency use authorization for individuals 16 years of age and older. While most people have gotten the COVID vaccine, according to CDC data, as of October 7, 2021, only about 56% of the United States is fully vaccinated. There is still a sizable percentage of the population that are reluctant to downright stubbornly refusing to get the vaccine. Without established herd immunity, these vaccine-hesitant individuals are not only putting themselves at risk, but also those around them. A big question for today is how can we convince the rest of the country to get vaccinated to reach herd immunity? In order to get insight on this question today, we have interviewed Dr. Panita Tusinda, who works in a primary care clinic in Central Florida. Join us as we delve in on the perspective of a doctor constantly dealing with COVID patients on a daily basis and the techniques he employs to build trust with her patients and convince them to get the vaccine. Here is Dr. Panita Tusinda.
So glad I was invited.
So Dr. Tusinda, how many unvaccinated patients do you get on average?
I see about 100 patients a week, and I would say about 30% of them have not received the COVID vaccine.
Was there anything in common amongst all these patients?
There's not really a common thing. It can be in all age groups.
So what reasons do people give for not getting the vaccine?
A lot of people say they don't trust the scientists or the government, or they believe it's all in God's hands. Some people believe that COVID isn't really a serious illness. They think it's kind of like the flu and it's benign illness. And then others don't want to go against their family, even if they want to get vaccinated, but they were betraying their family if their family doesn't want to get the vaccine. Some people believe in social media and conspiracy theories that are spread on social media. And then some people believe it's a personal freedom. Like I've had people use the term my body, my choice, which usually has to do with abortion, but they've used it to describe their reason for not getting vaccinated. And then other people just simply say, well, the vaccine hasn't been studied long enough, so I don't really know how safe it is, and I feel like it was a rush shot.
So how do you go about counteracting these reasons?
Well, I try to use several techniques. Some people, I can kind of guilt trip them into getting the vaccine, especially if they have older family members that are sick and elderly. And if they were to bring COVID to the household and that person got sick, they would probably end up in the hospital. And so that sense of guilt does persuade a lot of people, especially if they love their family member. If it's a problem with the social media and some of these weird beliefs that there are trackers put in the vaccine, or it causes infertility or cancer, or it alters your DNA, then I try to explain the science behind the mRNA vaccine, that it's been, you know, years of data that has gone into it. And they felt that it was quick, that how they developed the vaccine so quickly. But in actuality, that technology has been around for many years now. It was actually set up during the Ebola vaccination race that they had about 5 years ago. And now they just took the mRNA technology that they learned from that vaccination effort, and they just put the COVID vaccine spike protein in there. And so I try to explain to them that it's such a minor amount of mRNA, and it doesn't really get into your nucleus and incorporate into your DNA.
Those are techniques for dealing with misinformation and like people who have been malinformed from different sources, correct?
Yes, so that's, I try to explain the science to them, and sometimes that works if that's the only issue that they have.
For other people, does it require different types of techniques?
Yes, so for younger people, they seem to not worry so much about the death rate associated with COVID vaccination, because they feel like they're so healthy that even if they got COVID, that it wouldn't really do any harm to them. But for younger people, I try to use the financial burden of getting exposed to COVID, where you have to do a 14-day quarantine. And or if they got COVID and then they also have to be out of work for 2 weeks, or if one of their child gets COVID and now they got exposed to that child, then they have to do a 14-day quarantine. I say, well, can you afford to miss 2 weeks worth of pay and potentially up to 4 weeks worth of pay if the quarantine isn't done correctly? And that seems to convince some young people to get vaccinated.
So I've heard some people mention that they won't get the vaccine because the vaccine doesn't work, and because there's been breakthrough cases with vaccinated people getting sick. How do you deal with those kind of people?
Yeah, and I think I try to explain to them that COVID is a different disease if you've been vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So if you're unvaccinated, then you can get extremely sick and you may end up with a condition called long hauler syndrome or long COVID syndrome, which means that even though you got over the initial infection, you still have some residual effect from it, like shortness of breath, maybe even congestive heart failure, memory problems, or they call it brain fog, chronic headaches, anxiety, depression. So for folks who get vaccinated that have breakthrough COVID infection, their symptoms are much less and they tend to have fewer instances of long hauler syndromes. So it's a kind of a different disease altogether. So something that's severe or deadly to something that's more mild and no long-lasting effects. And I tell people about folks who have the long hauler syndromes, how I'm filling disability forms every day because they're not able to do all their job duties.
So as a doctor, you've probably been with some of these patients for like many years. Is there a way you use the stories of other patients to convince those same patients that don't want to get vaccinated?
Yes. So a lot of patients come in and they ask me, have you seen a lot of COVID cases, or have you taken care of COVID patients? Which I'm taking care of COVID patients every day. And I tell them that there's cases where I had one lady who was a breast cancer survivor. She was diagnosed a year ago, went through chemotherapy, had a mastectomy, and then breast reconstruction, which took almost an entire year. and she had just finished her last breast reconstruction surgery, decides to celebrate and goes to Mexico, comes back with COVID. 2 weeks later, she's dead. So I tell people stories like that. And then and young people, especially women, about pregnant people who, for some reason, COVID, when you're pregnant, is a severe disease. And one lady was 4 months pregnant and got hospitalized, put on a ventilator. They were worried the baby was going to die, so they did an emergency C-section. The baby was only a pound and a half. Luckily, the baby did survive, but it was on a ventilator for an additional 3 months. And we don't really know neurologically if that baby is going to come back normal, is grow up normal. And also, I had a respiratory therapist who does the ventilator at the local hospital, who says that like 75% of the patients are not going to walk out of the ICU alive. And she says the majority of them are younger than 40 years old, have multiple organ failure. Some of them are on dialysis and on a ventilator. So people don't know about what's going on in the ICU because the privacy, you know, in our hospital system. So if we could take a camera and show people what's really going on, that would probably convince more people to get the vaccine.
So an interesting thing that you mentioned. So I noticed most of the news usually just covers the statistics given out by the CDC. Maybe research articles might cover like the success rate of vaccines and how it's effective, but like there's not much of this personal kind of story approach that you've been giving us. Do you think your personal stories are maybe more a better way to establishing trust with your patients?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that I can add, actually, is because me telling them the same statistics that they're hearing over the national news is not really helpful to them. I think that if they can hear my experience, because everything that I hear about is local to them too, I think it hits home more that, hey, there's really a problem, and maybe they didn't know what was going on in the hospital because it's not always on the news. So I give them the information, and then, you know, it changes their minds a lot of times.
So, Dr. Trusinda, in your opinion, how successful have your techniques been?
Honestly, I don't know for sure, but I feel like about half the patients, at least, they're like, well, you got me thinking a little bit more about it. And later on, they come back and say, I got the vaccine because of what you told me. So I know I have been successful in convincing a lot of people, maybe even half.
I would like to conclude today's episode. A special thanks to Dr. Pania Tusinda for meeting with us today, and our line producer, Jessica Wang, for helping us with this episode. Thank you and goodbye.